Today is the 27th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone living in the United States. And happy Thanksgiving, you know, to everyone in the world. It's a day of Thanksgiving, a holiday here in the country that I live in. But I guess there's no reason to not give thanks and have gratitude on any given day. So I am deeply, deeply, deeply grateful for where we are here, around the global campfire, an oasis of safety, a place that we can come and just know that our purpose to come together is to allow the scriptures to speak into our lives and do what they do and hit us how they do and change us how they do. I am grateful that we have this place, and I'm grateful for every single one of us who are here around it at this moment. And so, gratitude, happy Thanksgiving. We are moving our way into now and through the book of Daniel. And we've read some of these famous stories like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Let's continue the journey. Daniel, chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, to those of every people, nation, and language who live on the whole earth, may our prosperity increase. I am pleased to tell you about the miracles and wonders the Most High God has done for me. How great are His miracles, and how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I had a dream, and it frightened me while in my bed. The images and visions in my mind alarmed me. So I issued a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon to me in order that they might make the dream's interpretation known to me. When the magicians, mediums, Chaldeans, and diviners came in, I told them the dream, but they could not make its interpretation known to me. Finally, Daniel, named Belteshazzar after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him, came before me. I told him the dream. Belteshazzar, head of the magicians, because I know that you have the spirit of the holy gods and that no mystery puzzles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I saw and its interpretation. In the visions of my mind, as I was lying in bed, I saw this. There was a tree in the middle of the earth, and it was very tall. The tree grew large and strong. Its top reached to the sky, and it was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit was abundant, and on it was food for all. Wild animals found shelter under it. The birds of the sky lived in its branches, and every creature was fed from it. As I was lying in my bed, I also saw in the vision of my mind a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called out loudly, "Cut down the tree and chop off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump with its roots in the ground and with a band of iron and bronze around it in the tender grass of the field. Let it be drenched with dew from the sky and share the plants of the earth with the animals. Let his mind be changed from that of a human, and let him be given the mind of an animal for 7 periods of time. This word is by decree of the watchers, and the decision is by command from the holy ones. This is so that the living will know that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms. He gives them to anyone he wants, and sets the lowliest of people over them. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation." because none of the wise men of my kingdom can make the interpretation known to me. But you can, because you have a spirit of the holy gods." Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was stunned for a moment, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king said, "Belteshazzar, don't let the dream or its interpretation alarm you." Belteshazzar answered, "My lord, may the dream apply to those who hate you, and its interpretation to your enemies. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, whose top reached to the sky and was visible to the whole earth, and whose leaves were beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it the wild animals lived, and in its branches the birds of the sky lived. That tree is you, your majesty, for you have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown and even reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the ends of the earth." The king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, "Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump with its roots in the ground, and with a band of iron and bronze around it in the tender grass of the field. Let him be drenched with dew from the sky and share food with the wild animals for 7 periods of time." "This is the interpretation, your majesty. And this is the decree of the Most High that has been issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals. You will feed on grass like cattle and be drenched with dew from the sky for 7 periods of time, until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants. As for the command to leave the tree's stump with its roots, your kingdom will be restored to you as soon as you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, may my advice seem good to you, my king. Separate yourselves from your sins by doing what is right, and from your injustices by showing mercy to the needy. Perhaps there will be an extension of your prosperity." All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, as he was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon, the king exclaimed, "Is this not Babylon the Great, that I have built to be a royal residence by my vast power and for my majestic glory?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared that the kingdom has departed from you. You will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals, and you will feed on grass like cattle for 7 periods of time, until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants." At that moment, the message against Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people. He ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky, until his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. But at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my sanity returned to me. Then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does what he wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one who can block his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At that time my sanity returned to me, and my majesty and splendor returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and my nobles sought me out. I was reestablished over my kingdom, and even more greatness came to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and glorify the King of the heavens, because all his works are true and his ways are just. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. Okay, so we finished up 1 Peter. Peter's first letter that's in the New Testament yesterday. That brings us to the letter known as 2 Peter. So the second letter of the Apostle Peter. And this is thought by many to be the final writing of Peter's life. We have to note that there has been disputes about authorship of this letter going back into antiquity, so it's not like it's a newfangled thing. There's been questions about it for centuries. The acceptance that this was a letter from the Apostle Peter happened over time, and then the letter was fully considered scripture by the 4th century. But still, even in modern times, scholars have observed that there are just really significant stylistic differences between 1st and 2nd Peter. And so there's a couple ways to explain this. One, it's a letter written in Peter's name, or it's more like the book of Hebrews, the author is unknown. Or those that defend Peter's authorship, which would be the traditional view, would say that he was illiterate, and so he needed to dictate what he wanted written down. He was a fisherman. We know this from the Gospels. And so he dictated his letters, and they were written down, and he dictated 2 Peter to a different, what's known as amanuensis, or a transcriber or secretary, than he did the first one. And the truth is, all in all, there are compelling reasons to consider this letter like Hebrews, author unknown, but then there are equally compelling reasons to consider that the author is the Apostle Peter, because, I mean, he's named in the letter. And so, if the Apostle Peter wrote 2 Peter, then this is likely in the late 60s AD. He was martyred in Rome shortly thereafter. Man, I'm thinking right now, just recently being at the tomb of St. Peter and kind of looking down this long corridor to where the sarcophagus thought to contain his bones are, and knowing that that tradition goes back, well, back to the time that he was killed. This is now in what is known as the Vatican, but that's not what the grounds were at the time when Peter was executed. And so I think of that now as I'm even saying this. He was crucified, as we know from church tradition, but he was crucified upside down. This was his request, that he not be crucified like the Lord Jesus, so he was crucified upside down. This is not in the Bible. This is a church tradition that goes significantly back. So, 2 Peter. Peter doesn't explicitly say who he's writing to. He said he's writing to you. You who share the same precious faith we have. And so we can assume that he's writing to the same people he wrote his first letter to. Because he refers to the first letter in the one we're about to read, the second one. So, whereas 1 Peter is seeking to bolster and instruct believers about how to endure this crushing pressure that is coming against them, and we talked about this yesterday, 2 Peter warns about false teachings and evil behaviors from within. And so, rather than just looking at the letter that we're going to read as a type of encouragement to just get it right, to just live better, we have to also note that Peter knows he is likely about to die. In fact, he says as much in this letter. And so let's give that some gravity. This is a man that we have known since we began our journey in the scriptures this year. An apostle, a follower, a disciple, an original with Jesus, a man who walked with Jesus along the Sea of Galilee, a man who saw Jesus' teachings and performed miracles and laughed with him and cried with him and lived with him and was there and ate his last supper with him and then denied he even knew him and then watched him die. But this is also a man who saw Jesus raised to life again. This is the same man who preached the first sermon after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And in the book of Acts, we're told 3,000 people chose to follow Jesus in that moment. These may be the final living words documented of the Apostle Peter. And so we should give them reverence and weight and access to our hearts and lives. With these final words, we'll see he chooses to encourage maturity, and he chooses to combat false teaching and to remind us that Jesus will certainly return. And so with that, we begin 2 Peter chapter 1. Simeon, Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith equal to ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you now have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder, since I know that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has indeed made clear to me. And I will also make every effort so that you are able to recall these things at any time after my departure. For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice when it came from heaven, while we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this: no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 119, 97 through 112. Mem, how I love your instruction. It is my meditation all day long. Your command makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, because your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the elders because I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path to follow your word. I have not turned from your judgments, for you yourself have instructed me. How sweet your word is to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every false way. None. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I have solemnly sworn to keep your righteous judgments. I am severely afflicted. Lord, give me life according to your word. Lord, please accept my free will offerings of praise and teach me your judgments. My life is constantly in danger, yet I do not forget your instruction. The wicked have set a trap for me, but I have not wandered from your precepts. I have your decrees as a heritage forever. Indeed, they are the joy of my heart. I am resolved to obey your statutes to the very end. Proverbs 28, 17, and 18. Someone burdened by blood guilt will be a fugitive until death. Let no one help him. The one who lives with integrity will be helped, but the one who distorts right and wrong will suddenly fall. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for another day, another book. And as we move into 2 Peter, we invite your Holy Spirit to speak life, truth, clarity, correction into our minds and into our spirits and hearts. And on this day of thanks, we give thanks to you, first and foremost, above all and beyond all. Our gratitude for our very lives is to you. Our gratitude for your rescue of our soul and our hearts, giving us a new nature, redeeming us, letting us start again, is beyond compare and beyond words and beyond description. And so, with a heart of gratitude, we thank you for life and the many gifts that life is filled with. We bless you and we worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base. And that's where you find out what's going on around here. It's Thanksgiving, so at least here. Here in the rolling hills of Tennessee, it's a grand feast day in the United States. So Thanksgiving, we give thanks and gratitude and mean it. And share our tables. And so happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Today is the last day that you can call in your campfire story. Where are you listening from? How long have you been listening? What's your story of being in the Bible and community? Like we do here, those stories have come in droves, and we're excited in the next couple of days to be able to release that as a really beautiful commemorative. And what a joy it is to be able to hear each other's voices telling our stories. As we imagine ourselves coming in out of the cold every day around the campfire in this safe place to hear the stories that come from that, is so beautiful. So today's last day, don't be left out. Call in. Jill and I were on yesterday mentioning several things, so I'll mention them again. We are going back to Israel in February coming up. And that trip has been long, long, long sold out. But we've kind of reconfigured it. Like we're taking more of our, most of our own whole family is going to be joining us. And so we've reconfigured and actually made available a handful more spots, more seats available on the buses. And so just throwing it out there. If you want to jump on a fast train and go in February, then jump on that fast. They never like when we announced the Israel trip, it very, very quickly sells out. It's like a very, very in-demand trip because it's very unique in the places that it goes. It's just very different than a standard Israel tour. And so if you want to go, go to dailyaudiobible.com or go to the app and go to the initiatives section and you'll find Israel there. Just click that link and that'll take you through the entire process. You can see the whole thing. And so check that out. Probably won't be mentioning that again. Probably won't have the ability to mention it again. So letting you know that. Also, the Christmas box for 2025, our 20th anniversary Christmas box, is now available in the Daily Audio Bible shop. You can get to it on the web or in the app. And it is very much a 20th anniversary themed, very exclusive, one-of-a-kind Christmas box, the kind of which we won't have again. There's some very, very exclusive things that are only ever going to be there. So check that out. We also mentioned a couple new things that are in the shop. We minted Word of the Year coins for every single year we've been doing Words of the Year. And those are available in the Daily Audio Bible shop now, including the Word of the Year for 2026. So all the way through. And there's also wristbands with that Word of the Year. Those make really good stocking stuffers. We've had these in the past, and they've been well-loved and well-beloved. People give them away while inviting somebody to the campfire all the time. We just haven't had them for a while. But we did Word of the Year wristbands this year. So you can kind of put it on your wrist and let it be a constant reminder of what we're focusing on as we move through the scriptures, and maybe a really, really meaningful word that can kind of be a North Star. It's definitely ours in our lives. And then it's always there, and you can always just take it off and give it to somebody. It's got dailyaudiobible.com. It's got like how to get to us there. And so those are in the Daily Audio Bible shop. So check them out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, deeply, deeply humble gratitude. Deeply. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Heather in Tennessee. It is November 24th, and I am still in September community prayers. September 13th is the one I'm listening to right now. There's a couple things. Victoria Soldier said, when things are hardest, to praise Him, to praise God. And to me, that just hit me today, that yes, yes and amen, we need to praise God when we are just feeling at our worst, when we're depressed, when we can't see a way up or a way out. Lord, We need to praise you, God. And I thank you, Victoria Soldier, for reminding us that we need to do that. Susan, God's Yellow Flower, I just praise God for your words of encouragement for us to know that we do want our suffering to end, especially for our loved ones, our children. We want it to end. And your word was a right now word for me. I would like my children to have all the blessings and encouragement. But you know what? Sometimes they have to go through things. In fact, I know we have to go through things. I want to lift up Messenger from God, his marriage. Lord, help his wife to feel better. I also want to lift up Anonymous from California. I am still praying for you. I know I'm behind, but the Lord is really encouraging me through these prayers, and I just pray for you, and I just lift you up. Lord, I just pray that whenever this prayer goes up.
Hello, this message is for Lily. It's a word of encouragement as you called in saying that you need to stretch out your medicine till next year. And I just wanted to remind you of the story in 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 7, about Elijah and the widow, how she was obedient to God and he sustained her and was able to keep them and her family alive. So I'm just praying that God will sustain you and allow your medicine to just stay with you and until you need it renewed. So I'm praying for you, sister.
Hello, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I just wanted to lift up a couple people that have called in to pray. I'm a little behind. I just listened to the 10th. Today is actually the 24th. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. But there was a lady that called in for her husband. Her husband was suffering from mental illness, and she didn't know where he was. He had turned off his locator. She's very concerned for him. And I also wanted to lift up, there was a woman that called in before them for her brother, KG, who was under severe spiritual attack. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before your throne. Oh, mighty, mighty Father, we are so, so incredibly humbled by your goodness, your glory. We give you praise. Heavenly Father, we say holy, 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 and we thank you that you see us. That you see us and that you know us, Heavenly Father. And that is the same. It never changes because you do not change. So that is the same for these two individuals as well. These two men, they are your sons and you love them more than we could ever possibly love them or possibly even imagine or fathom. Your love is infinite. Your grace, your mercy is infinite, Heavenly Father. I pray that you just lay your healing hands on them in the name of Jesus right now, wherever they are. Touch them. Let them know that you are with them, that your presence is with them. Let them know that you see them, that you are in the miry clay with them, that you are going to pull them out of the miry clay. Heavenly Father, I pray that they call out to you, Abba Father. I pray they call out to you as David did when he was being hunted by Saul and he was in the caves. Heavenly Father, I pray that they moan and groan and the Spirit intercedes on their behalf, Heavenly Father. I pray for your peace and your calm in this storm for not only them, but their families, Heavenly Father. And I thank you in advance for the victory that you will bring. It is in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to pray for Steve's daughter from Northwest Arkansas, who's with the going through the challenge of her unborn child. My heart is with her, and I've been through it myself, but God brought us out, and I'm just praying that God will bring out that with this wonderful son that God gave me. He's almost 30 now, so I just know that God is able. Lord, we just ask you to have your way. I want to pray for Lisa from New Jersey who had the abusive husband. Lord, we pray for that husband that he'll become the man that God is calling for. And we pray for my sister for the challenges that she's going through. I want to pray for my friend who also her friend who had glaucoma and the one who had leukemia and cancer for 14 years. We're praying for them. We pray for Bethesda and the prisoners that she was praying about, and those that getting baptized. And we want to pray for Kim in Kentucky, and want to pray for the challenges of that. I also want to do a pray for the Bria, and thank God for the praise report and all the people of God. Want to continue to pray for our Dabbers, and just thank God every day for 20 years and for Brian and Jill and for this wonderful podcast. And it was good to hear from Blind Tony and Joe the Protector and the doctor. We just thank you, Lord, and for all of the people of God. Oh Lord, we're looking to hear from Lisa also in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Have a great day. Talk to you later, Deborah. Bye-bye.